So we're on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, and we're up to V'ela Munbaz, which would be about six lines down from the top. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Okay.
V'ela Munbaz, Shkoga B'mai. Let's just review. Munbaz had postulated a hekesh between mezid and shogeg, because in both cases the Torah used the word chet. And he derives from that hekesh that shogeg requires yedia b'shas maisa. He has to know about the avera at the time that he violates it in order to be considered shogeg. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question. If that be the case, what's the difference between shogeg and mezid? If shogeg itself means that he has yedias havera, then he's a mezid. And the Gemara answers, kigon sheshogag bekarbon. According to Munbaz, if the only thing he doesn't know is that in this case, the severity of the havera is such that if he would have violated it b'shogeg without any deliberate intention, he would have to bring a chatos. This individual is a half scholar, not a full scholar. What he knows is that for violating the Shabbos, for example, he is chayev kores, he's chayev misa, if he doesn't be mezid. What he doesn't know is that if he violates this avera b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban. So he's missing some of his knowledge, as far as we call it, the chumras avera, the severity of the avera. For Rabbanon, the Rabbanon disagree with Munbaz, shigas korban lo shma shgaga. If he knows everything, he's aware of the fact that he's violating an iser kares, if he does it b'mezid, okay, so he doesn't know that a shogeg is chayv a korban. He's missing that knowledge. But that's not enough to make him into a shogeg. You can't say that he's violating this inadvertently or unintentionally. He has full intention to violate this aver, knowing well that this is a serious and strict violation that generates a chiyuv kares. V'rabbanan shkoga b'mai. What element, what piece of knowledge is a person missing that makes him into a shogeg? Intuitively, the answer would have been, he doesn't know that what he's doing is prohibited. And that, in fact, is going to be one opinion. We'll see that in Reish Lakish. But first, we want to study Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kevan sheshogag bekares. If he's under the misimpression that he's violating a regular lav, and it's not a more severe lav that puts it into a category of an avera chamura, he just doesn't know that for violating this aver is chayev kares, that yedia he's missing, that's enough to make him into a shogeg. Afal pisha hizid belav. He's very much aware of the fact that he's violating the Torah, he's a rebellious person, but he doesn't think it's that severe. And we could possibly add a little bit of an explanation for Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan feels that had we notified him before he violated the Avera that this is not just a lav, but this is more severe. On the hierarchy of Averos, this reaches the level of a Chiyuv Kares, maybe he would have desisted. And in that sense, he's a shogeg. He's missing a piece of knowledge that had he known that knowledge, he would not have implemented this terrible violation. Reish Lakish Omar, Ad she yishkog bilav ubekares. A shogeg means that he's not aware of the fact that this is a violation of the Torah law. And intuitively, I think we would identify with Reish Lakish's definition of shkoga. The man is under the misimpression that he's allowed to do what he's doing. Little does he know that this is a lav, and that's called a shogeg. Now the Gemara assumes that this machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about what constitutes a shogeg according to the Rabbanon is based on psukim. It's based on drashos. Omar Rava. My time at the Rav Shimon ben Lakish. What pasuk did Rav Shimon ben Lakish have that brought about his definition, convinced him of his definition, that he has to be a shogeg, not only in the kares, but also in the lav? The Gemara, by the way, Rava seems to have an undermining understanding intuitively, an appreciation for Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan holds that, you know what, he doesn't know and he's not aware of the severity of the avera. And that's enough to make him into a shogeg. And therefore, Rava thinks that Reish Lakish must be based on some drasha in the pasuk. Amar Kra, the Torah says in the parasha of Chatos, at the beginning of Vayikra, in Perek Dalet, Asher lo te'asena ve'ashem, that he violates a prohibition which the Torah says should not be done, and he does it inadvertently. And he's guilty now at some level, and he has to bring a chatos. Ad sheyishgog belav v'kareis sheba. The implication, according to Reish Lakish, of this pasuk is that he's only chayv a chatos because he's not aware of neither the lav, the prohibition, the violation, nor the chiv kares that it generates. And this is based on the pasuk that says lo te'asena. In other words, he's shkaga on lo te'asena. He doesn't know lo te'asena. He doesn't know that the Torah is telling him it's prohibited to do so. Rabbi Yochanan, Hi Krod, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, my Ovid. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with this pasuk? It says, Lo te'asena. His shkaga is that he doesn't know, quote unquote, Lo te'asena, that this, the Torah enjoins him from this violation. Bibayle lichsanya. He needs it for a din that is formulated by a brisa. And this brisa is based on the same parasha of Chatos in Vayikra Dalet, and the pasuk describes the person who violated an aver b'shogeg as Mei Am Haaretz. He's amongst the people of the land. Notice he's part of the community of Israel. Who is this coming to exclude? Is there a Jew who's born Jewish, but yet he's excluded from the community of Israel? And the answer is Prat, this is excluding a Mumar. A Mumar is a person who halachically is kind of not Jewish. I mean, he is Jewish. And of course, if he is married, he can give a get to his wife. But for many, many different prohibitions and responsibilities within the Jewish community, he's a Mumar. He's a person who violates the Torah and consistently. And he's excluded from certain communal activities. And for example, we don't trust him in kashrus, and his shechita is not reliable. And now we're saying that he doesn't come under the category of shogeg. Shogeg only applies in a case of someone who's within the community, and to him it makes sense that he would not violate the Torah law. He may be unaware of something, and therefore he violated the Torah law. Had he been aware of it, he would have desisted. But a mumar doesn't fit those categories, those descriptions. And he's excluded from the pasuk, Mei Am Haaretz. The Braisa continues and quotes Rav Shimon ben Elazar Mishum Rav Shimon, Asher Lo Ta'asena V'Ashem. In the other pasuk, which was the pasuk of Reish Lakish that we had before, the pasuk says that he is inadvertent, meaning lo te'asena. He's not aware of the lo te'asena, and therefore v'yashem is guilty. And then the Torah says that in such a case he has to bring a chatos. Hashav miyidiyaso mevi karban al shigigaso. A person who violates a Torah law because he's unaware, he's lacking knowledge, but if he would be notified, if somebody would tap him on the back and tell him that what he's doing is prohibited, that's called a shav miyidiyaso. That would bring him about a situation where he would be shav. He would pull his hand back. But someone like a mumar, who's lo shav miyadiyaso, in other words, even if you notify him that this is a transgression, it's not going to cause him to desist. He'll violate the Avera in any event. Eino mevi karban al shigugaso. He doesn't fit into the category of a shogeg. And the right to be called a shogeg and to be given the opportunity to bring a kapara with a karban chatas is reserved to someone who, if he would have known what he had to know, he would not have implemented the Avera. That doesn't apply to a mumar. He's not categorized as shav miyadiyaso. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan is going to interpret the pasuk asher lo te'asena, which was the basis for Reish Lakish's conclusion. Tanan. We go back to our Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is the next Mishnah here in the Perek. Our avos melachas arbaim chaserachas. The Mishnah delineates 39 melachos. Vavinibo, we ask minyana lomali. Why did the Mishnah have to bother giving me the number? I can count the enumeration. I mean, the Mishnah tells you exactly what the melachos are. On Rabbi Yochanan, Shem Asan Kula Behelim Echod Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. If a person is aware that it's Shabbos, he's just not aware of the melachos, and he violates the maximum number of melachos. What is the maximum number of chatos that he could be chayav for any given Shabbos? And the answer is 39, because every single melacha generates its own individual chiyuv chatos. So the Gemara says, Hechi mishkachas lo. How could you find a case where he'll be liable for 39 chatos? It's got to be Bizdon Shabbos. He's aware of the fact that it's Shabbos. Vishigas melachos. And he's not aware of the melachos. He hasn't learned any of the 39 melachos. And therefore he's a shogeg on each one of the 39. And each violation of any of those melachos generates its own chiyuv chatos. Maximum 39. Bishleimel Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer came in Shishogag Bekares, Afal Pisha Hazid Bilav. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you want to come up with a description that is Zadon Shabbos, he knows about Shabbos, but he doesn't know about any of the melachos. So that's fine, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because he doesn't know the severity and the punishment for violating the Shabbos. He knows that you're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. He thinks mistakenly that it's only a lav. It's only a classic violation. He doesn't know that it's a kri of kares. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Mishkachas lo, we understand how a person could be zod on Shabbos and he's chayav for 39 malachas, 39 chatos, kigon diyodale l'shabbos b'lav. He is under the misimpression that violating the Shabbos incurs a lav, a violation of a lav. It's a classic lav. And he's not aware of the fact that there's a chiyuv kares. And he's considered a shogeg. And he brings a chatas for every single av malach that he violates, topping it off at 39. El Reb Shimon Lakish, di omar, ad she yishkog belav ubekares. He's not aware neither of the chiyuv kares, but not even of the Isur Lav. So what does he know about? You tell him it's Shabbos. What is Shabbos? The other Leibah Shabbos b'mai, what does he know about Shabbos? What impression does he have about Shabbos? And the Gemara answers, the Yoda v'tchumin, v'alib of the Rabbi Akiva. He thinks, in his mistaken impression, that Shabbos is a day in which a person has to remain within a certain boundary. He's not allowed to leave the city, the outer boundaries of the city, to more than 2,000 amma. And Rabbi Akiva Shita is, we'll have it later on in Masechta Shabbos, and it's also Masechta Sota, that Tchumen is d'oraisa. The Torah says, Al yetze ish mimkomo, biyom ha-Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva is going to derive from that pasuk nisu tchumen. So here's an individual who knows that it's Shabbos. He doesn't know the malachas of Shabbos. In his mind, if he would harvest his crop, if he would grind his kernels of wheat, he has not violated any surah. He knows it's Shabbos. He has the barest minimum knowledge of Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of an Isur Tchumen. And that makes him into a Zadon Shabbos. He knows about Shabbos as far as one Avera is concerned. He thinks that Shabbos generates an Isur Tchumen. A very strange kind of understanding of what Shabbos is about. You know, when you think about engineering such a case of someone who knows nothing about Shabbos other than Tchumen. Most people don't even know about Tchumen. I can give you a philosophical explanation why he thinks that Shabbos is a day of an Isur Tchumen, but just on a practical level, it's a bit strange. But that's going to be the case, according to Reish Lakish, in our Mishnah of Arboim Chaser Achas, where he's considered a Zadon Shabbos. He's aware of the Shabbos, but he's not aware of the Melachos. And each Melacha generates its own independent Chiyuv Chatas. Now, let's go to the following Braisa. Man Tana Lahad Taner Banu. Who is the author to whom we can attribute the following Braisa? Shagag Bazeh U Bazeh. He doesn't know it's Shabbos, and he doesn't know about the Melachos. Zehu Shogeg HaOmer B'Torah. That's the Shogeg as far as Shabbos is concerned. He's not aware neither of Shabbos nor of the Melachos. Hazid Bazeh Bazeh. The other extreme is that he knows both about the Shabbos and about each Melacha. Zohi Mezid Homer B'Torah. That's your classic case of a Mezid. And he'll be Chayiv Kares. Shogag B'Shabbos V'Hezid B'Melachos. What about a case in which he knows about the Melachos, but he doesn't realize today is Shabbos? He mistakenly thinks today is Friday or today is Sunday. Oh, alternatively, Shashogag B'Melachos V'Hezid B'Shabbos. He knows about the Shabbos, and he knows today is Shabbos. But he's not aware of the Melachos. Oh, here's a third case. Sha'amar yodea anisha melacha zu asura. I know that this is a violation of the Torah's melacha. I don't know whether you, in a shogig situation, you chayav a karman. So in all those three cases, chayav. He brings a chatos and he's considered a shogig. Now, let's take a look at the last case. In the last case enumerated in this Braisa, he knows all of Shabbos. He's aware of the fact that today is Shabbos and all the Melachos are prohibited. And he's considered a Shogeg. What makes him into a Shogeg? Eini yode shechayov melech karbon. That was the definition of Shogeg of Munbaz. Kiman, kim Munbaz. So we have a Braisa that stands on the shoulders and reflects the sheet of Munbaz, and if he's not aware of the Chiv Karban, that's enough to make him, to qualify him as a Shogeg. Now, is there a case where even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that in order to be classified as a Shogeg, you must be unaware of the lav, unaware of the iser? Omar Abaye, hakol modim b'shvuas bitui, she'ein chayov n'olea karban, ad sheyishkog b'lav sheba. Even Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree to Reish Lakish that in the case of a shvuas bitui, which comes under two categories, either a shvuas bitui is a shvual sha'avar or a shvual yosid, which means either he takes an oath that he ate a loaf of bread and he didn't eat a loaf of bread, he forgot, or he takes an oath that he won't eat a loaf of bread and he forgets his oath and he eats the loaf of bread. In all these cases, he has violated the law of Shvuas Bitui, and the Torah says at the beginning of Vayikra and Perek Hey that O Nefesh, Ki tishava levate svasayim lahara o lahetiv. Lahara means on the past and lahetiv on the future. Lechol asher yivate oda b'shvua v'nela mimenu. If he is unaware of the violation of his shvua, then he's chayev to bring a korban. And Abai says, Hakol modiman Rabbi Yochanan. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that in this case of Shvuas Bitui, he's Chayav a Karban Chatos, and he's a shogeg belav. In other words, he doesn't know that he is violating a prohibition of Shvuas Sheker. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Abaye hasn't told me anything new. And why is that? Mika Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hecha De'ika Kika Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hecha De'ika Kares. Rabbi Yochanan, when he said that you are a shogi because you're unaware of the Chiyuv Kares, that's only in a lav that has a Chiyuv Kares. The Chiddush of Shvuas Bitui is that even though the violation of this lav does not incur a Chiyuv Kares, nevertheless the Torah says you have to bring a Chatas. Aval Hach in the case of Shvuas Bitui, lo, the leka kares, lo, there is no kares, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan would clearly agree to Reish Lakish's definition of shogi, that he's a shogi because he's unaware of the law. So the Gemara says, Salkadait, I mean, if not for Abaye, I would have thought, Hoil the Chai of Karban. In this case of Shvuas Bitui, the fact that he's Chai of a Karban, if he inadvertently violates a Shvuas Bitu, is Chidushu. This is something that defies and is an exception to the universal rule. The B'chol HaTorah Kula, the universal rule, is Lo Ashkechan Lav De Maisele Karban. There is no other Lav in the Torah where the violation in Shogeg generates a Chiyuv Karban. The only exception to that rule is Shvuas Bitu. Hacha Maisi, in the case of Shvuas Bitui, he brings a karban, despite the fact that there's no Chiv Kares in a case of Mezid, it's just a regular lav, is therefore, I would think, ki shogag be karban, nami l'chayev. Maybe it would be enough if he was unaware of the fact that there's a karban, because that's what makes Shvuas Bitui more severe than any other classic lav. Because if we break up the lavim into two categories, the severe lavim generate kares, and the other lavim are classic regular lavim without a chiyuv kares. What is unique that puts Shvuas Bitui and in a separate category, meaning it takes it out of the lower category and upgrades it to the higher category, the more severe category, and even though it's not a Chiyuv Kares, it's the fact that he brings a karban if he inadvertently violates the Shvuah. And therefore, he's got to be aware of that unique aspect of the karban, according to this Havami, of Shvuas Bitui. Meaning, if you talk about an Iser that has kares, and what makes it unique and severe, it's the kares, the violation generates a punishment kares. So now you could say he's a shogeg because he's not aware of the severity. He thinks this is a classic lav, and he's a little bit careless about a classic lav. He doesn't realize how severe it is. In the case of Shvuas Bitui, what would make him unaware of the severity of the lav? The fact that you bring a karban, despite the fact that there's no chiyuv kares. And now we turn to Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis, Kamashwal, and therefore Abaye has to teach me that even in the case of Shvuas Bitui, Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you don't know about the Avera, you don't know that you're violating an Avera, that's what makes you into a shogeg. And the fact that you're unaware of the chiyuv karban, that doesn't make you into a shogeg. Meisve, the Gemara now tries to undermine Abaye's statement from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Ezu shigigash shvuas bitui l'sha'avar, in a case where he takes a shvua, that he already ate a loaf of bread, and in fact he forgot that he had not eaten a loaf of bread, or he says he didn't eat a loaf of bread and forgot that he did eat a loaf of bread. And that's called a Shvuas Bitu L'Shavar because in fact he did eat that loaf of bread that he's swearing that he didn't eat. Is what's the Shkaga in this case? Shem Omar Yodea Nisha Shvuas Zu Asura Aval Eini Yodeam Chayovin Olea Karbon Olo Chayav. If he admits that he knows he's taking a false oath, but he's under the impression that a violation of a false oath is a classic Avera with a violation of a lav, he's not aware of the chiyuv karbon, then he is considered a shogeg according to this brisa, and he's chayev. So the Gemara answers, don't ask a kash on Abaye, because Abaye is going according to the Shitas Chachamim, but Hamani, the author of this brisa, is Munbazi. And Munbaz is the one who says that a shogeg is someone who's not aware of the fact that you're chayev a karbon. Lishnachrini, another possible response to this objection against Abaye, Mani, who is the author of this brisa? Ilema Munbaz. If you tell me that Munbaz is writing this brisa and a shogeg is someone who's not aware of the karbon, pshita. You wouldn't have to tell me that in the case of Shuas Bitui. Hashta b'chol haTorah kula. In the entire Torah, delav chidushu, where the fact that you bring a karbon in shogeg is not a chidush because that fits the pattern of a chiyuv kares. And nevertheless, Omar, Munbaz holds that shigas karbon shma shkaga is hacha de chidushu lo kolshken. For sure, Munbaz would say that when the very essence of the lav that makes it into a unique lav and defies the normal categories of punishments is the chiyuv karbon, how much more so the lack of awareness of that chiyuv karbon would make him into a shogeg. So certainly Munbaz would definitely be repeating himself if he would be the author of this brisa to tell me that in Shvuas Bitui the reason why you chayv a karbon is because you're not aware of the karbon. That makes you into a shkoga. Munbaz holds that in general that makes you into a shogeg, the fact that you're unaware of the karbon. Elolav rabbonon hi. But rather, the author of this brisa, in order to make it into a chidush, must be the rabbonon of Sumchus, of Munbaz. And yet, the rabbonon are saying in this brisa that if he's unaware of the karbon, that makes him into a shogeg. Is tyufta de Abaye tyufta? This is an upshlug, a refutation of Abaye, because Abaye was of the opinion that everybody agrees in the case of Shuas Bitui that in order to qualify as a shogeg for the chiyuv karbon, you have to be unaware of the avera. And here we're talking in this brisa about someone who says, yodea ani, I know that this shvu is asura, I'm just not aware of the karbon for the violation b'shogeg, and that enough, says the brisa, makes him into a shogeg. Is that a question on Abaye? If this brisa would have been, according to the first approach of the Gemara, authored by Munbaz, then Abaye doesn't have to commit himself to explain Munbaz, because Munbaz in general holds that when you're not aware of the carbon shogeg, that makes you a shogeg. And therefore we should certainly apply that to Shvuas Bitui. That has nothing to do with Abaye. But Abaye was saying it according to the Rabbanon. And now that we've concluded that this brisa would be totally superfluous if it were reflecting the sheet of Munbaz, and therefore ipso facto it must be authored by and attributed to the Rabbanon, now we have a brisa that goes on record in Shvuas Bitui that even though you're aware of the Isur, you're still considered a shogeg for the karbon because you're unaware of the chiyuv karbon, and that undermines the sheet of Abaye. Now Abaye has another hakol modim. Omer Abaye hakol modim v'truma she'ein chayov v'noleh chomesh ashi yishkog b'lav sheba. In order to be a shogeg for the case of a zar, a non-kohen, who eats truma, and he's unaware, and therefore he has to pay what's called a chomesh, you have to be unaware of the lav. What are we talking about? If a zar eats truma b'shogeg, then the Torah tells us that he has to bring a karbon, but he also has to pay what's called keren v'chomesh. He pays the coin back the value of the truma, and to boot, he has to add as a penalty an additional payment of 20% of the value of the truma. And Abaye says that what makes him into a shogeg, he's not aware of the fact that this is that this is truma. He thinks mistakenly that this is chulin. It's not truma, and therefore it's not prohibited. He doesn't know that the Torah enjoins him from eating this truma. And Abai says that in this case, even as the Gemara is going to analyze, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you have to be a shogeg on the lav. Hakol modim man. What does Abai mean that everybody agrees, Rabbi Yochanan? Even though Rabbi Yochanan says that there's such a thing as a shogeg if you're unaware of the chiyuv kares, and that itself makes you into a shogeg. Here, says Abai, Rabbi Yochanan would agree that he has to be unaware of the fact that he's enjoined from eating this truma. He thinks it's chulin. So the Gemara says, pshita. Once again, this is not a chiddush of Abai, because Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that when there's a chiyuv kares and he's not aware of the chiyuv kares, that makes him into a shogeg. But here, in the case of zar shochel truma, there is no chiyuv kares. The Gemara says, ki amar Rabbi Yochanan hecha de'ika kares, but hecha de'leka kares lo. Now, we have to give a little bit of a background here. The violation of a zar who eats truma is what's called a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. And you and I might think that a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim is more severe than a chiyuv kares. But in fact, that's not true. In the comparison, the scale of punishment between a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim and kares is more severe. Misa bidei shamayim means that he's going to, at some point, he's going to die by heavenly decree before his due time. But kares means he can be cut off. Some say that kares also, not only it means when he's young he'll die, but kares also means that his children will be affected. In any event, the bottom line is that in terms of zar she'achal truma, we're not talking about the severity of a chiyuv kares. Again, this is no picnic to have misa bidei shamayim, but it's not on the level of severity of a chiyuv kares. So if we have now clarified that truma, zar she'achal truma, does not fit into the category of chiyuv kares, then it doesn't make sense to apply Rabbi Yochanan's principle that you're a shogeg because you don't know the kares. There is no kares in the case of zar she'achal truma. But ma'od is same if not for Abai, I would have thought misa b'makom kares omedes. V'chi shogeg b'misa nami l'chayev. Maybe the case of a zar who eats truma v'shogeg is a case where he's aware of the avera. That sounds very familiar if you're studying Rabbi Yochanan. But he's unaware of the unique severity of this avera. And what is the unique severity of this avera? It generates a chiyuv misa bidei shamayim. The normal violation of a lav generates malchus at the worst, but there's no punishment of misa bidei shamayim. What sets apart zar shochel truma as a severe violation is the punishment of misa bidei shamayim that doesn't apply to any standard lav. And you might think that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if not for Abaye, the definition of shogeg in the case of a zar shochel truma would be a zar who thinks mistakenly that if he eats the truma, he's not going to be chayav misa. In other words, he classifies in his mind Zaras Betruma as a regular classic lav. And that makes him into a shogeg. Kamash Malan, Abai wants to teach us. No, that's not a shogeg, because Misa Bidei Shamayim is not the same as Kares. It's not in that level of severity that the lack of awareness of that punishment would make him into a shogeg. And therefore Abai says that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that the lack of awareness that makes you into a shogeg in the case of a zar has to be the fact that he doesn't know that this is truma, and he mistakenly thinks it's chulin, and he's a shogeg balav. But Rava, my Rava disagrees. And he says, Misa b'makom kares omedes. Meaning, despite the extra severity of kares, Misa is very severe. Chomesh b'makom karbon kai. And now you want to tell me that he should be chayav an extra chomesh because of his shkaga? And the answer is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, says Rava, if he's unaware of the chiyuv Misa b'dei shamayim, that's exactly parallel to someone who, although he's aware of the lav, he's unaware of the Chiyuv Kares. In this case, Misa b'makom Kares omenes. Misa is now a substitute, so to speak, a fill-in for Kares. Amar Rav Huna. This, we're about to embark on one of the most famous sugyas in Masechta Shabbos. The man is on the road, he's out in the wilderness. We would say he's in the wild blue yonder. He lost his count of the days. So what should he do? Any day that he chooses, there's a 1 out of 7 possibility statistically that is Shabbos. You can't tell him that he should observe every single day as Shabbos, because maybe it is Shabbos, and he won't be able to do malacha. The man is going to starve to death. The man is going to die. So, here we have a machlokes between Rav Huna and Chiya bar Rav. According to Rav Huna, Mone Shisha Yomim, he should count 6 days, Umeshamer Yom Echad, and he observes the 7th day of his counting. He has his own counting. And Chiya bar Rav Omer Meshamer Yom Echad, the very first day, meaning let's say he finds out today that, oh no, what day of the week is it? I'm totally lost. So tomorrow is going to be his Shabbos. And then he counts the next 6 days, and the following day is Shabbos. Now the Mefarshim point out that either way, whether you start with Shabbos or whether you end with Shabbos, chances are that that's not Shabbos. And this whole institution is a rabbinic creation so that lo tishtakach Torah Shabbos, that he should not forget about the Shabbos. Perhaps one could even add that it's a penalty. He should have been very careful about, you know, counting the days and knowing when Shabbos is. B'maikom miflegi. Why would the Rabbanan go this way, count 6 days, and then observe the 7th day? Why would they go that way and, you know, observe the 1st day? Tomorrow is Shabbos. Mar Sover of Hun is of the opinion, kibriyaso shel olam, that man should imitate the creator of the world. And when God created the world, he created 6 days of chol, sheshi sumeya masa, and then he created the Shabbos on the 7th day. We should be imitating God's creation. Umar Sover, but according to Chiya bar Rav, ke Adam Arishon, Adam Arishon, the very next day after he was born, he observed it as Shabbos. Adam Arishon was created on Erev Shabbos before Chashecha, before it got dark, and immediately entered into Shabbos. So what is it? Is it the divine element of creation? Is it the human element and the human experience? And this kind of Gemara you find elsewhere. I'll give you an example. The Gemara talks about Piri Verivya, Masechta Yevamos. The Gemara wants to know, how many children do you have to have in order to fulfill Piri Verivya? So according to one opinion, that's Beis Hillel, but again, there's Yerushalmi, but according to Bavli and Beis Hillel, it's to have a boy and a girl. And once again, we want to imitate God, that God created male and female. So you also have to be a creator of male and female. Very often, we try to imitate the Almighty. And according to the second opinion, that of Chiya, we should be imitating Adam Arishon. Meisvei, we're going to ask a kashon Chiya bar Rav from a brisa. Hoy malik baderech v'eini yodei mosay Shabbos. He's on the road. He lost count of the days. He is meshamer yom echad l'shisha. What does that mean? Yom echad l'shisha. Literally, if you translate it, means 1 day for every 6 days. Which sounds like my love, doesn't it? Mean mo l'shisha u'meshamer yom echad. That when it says 1 day for the 6, let him do 6, and then he gets 1 day for the 6. That sounds like Rav Huna. Lo, the Gemara says Chiya bar Rav will reinterpret this brisa. Meshamer yom echad umona shisha. When he says 1 for 6, he doesn't mean 1 after 6, but rather what it means is 1 and then 6. Ihachi, if that be the case, the language of the brisa is very strange. Meshamer yom echad l'shisha. What does that mean? For every 6 days, he should observe the 7th day. It should have said Mishamer yom echad umonesh isha. He should observe the first day and then count 6 days till he gets to the next Shabbos. Miboyle. That's what it should have said. V'od Tanya, and furthermore, we have a brisa that says it pretty explicitly. He doesn't know which day is Shabbos. Monesh isha umishamer yom echad. That's about as explicit as you can get. Is tuvta dechia barav tuvta. This last brisa clearly reiterates the position of Rav Huna that monesh isha umishamer yom echad. Omar Rava, what should we do in this case where he doesn't know which day of Shabbos? Is b'chol yom v'yom osalo k'day bar nesoso. Every day for him is really a suffix Shabbos. So we're not going to allow him on any particular day to just do malacha, so to speak, for the fun of it. We're going to really limit, severely limit, the amount of malacha he's allowed to do. And that's called k'day bar nesoso. Whatever he needs to survive. So we're going to apply the principle of pikuach nefesh v'chai bohem, and we're going to permit him only that which is absolutely necessary to sustain him. Bar me'ahu yoma, except for that one day that he designates on Shabbos, as Shabbos, which could either be, now that we've accepted Rav Huna, the seventh day of his counting, or the first day of his counting according to Chiyuv HaRav, and on that day, he does no malach at all. So the Gemara asks, "Vahu yoma lemus? Are you telling me that on that day he has nothing? He has nothing to do to keep himself alive? You know, all the other days, you tell me he's allowed to do only those malachas that he needs absolutely; otherwise, he'll perish. And now we get to his Shabbos, and you're saying even that he can't do, so he's going to perish." And the Gemara answers, the Ovid Me'esmol Shtei Parnosos. When he gets to day 6, according to Rav Huna, in his counting, he's got to do a double malacha. In other words, he's got to do extra malacha. Now that's really strange because, you know, his 6th day, we'll call it in inverted commas, might be Shabbos. In fact, there's no reason to assume that the 7th day is more likely to be Shabbos than the 6th day in his counting. So, in order to protect the Shabbos and guarantee that he doesn't violate the Shabbos, we're going to tell him, well, you're only allowed to do on that 6th day the minimum, because that's pikuach nefesh. But now we're saying, well, let him double it up, and he's gonna bake not just one bread, but he'll bake 2 breads, you know, like the case of Man, where on Friday they had to take a double portion. Yeah, but now you're adding malachas, and it might be that day is Shabbos. And why are you doing this? In order that he should observe tomorrow is Shabbos. So you can get involved in a suffek doraisa, violating Shabbos, without a heter pikuach nefesh, and for what sake? In order that he observe day 7 is Shabbos. V'dilma me'esmol Shabbos, Havi. There's just as much of a chance, statistically, that me'esmol, meaning on his Friday, is Shabbos, as there is that his 7th day is Shabbos, and now you're going to tell him to do double malacha on the 6th day? Every extra malacha might be a violation of Shabbos. At least that which he absolutely needs, he's out there in the desert, he's going to perish, that comes under the v'chai bohem. But beyond that, hello, the Gemara says, no, we have to rewrite the text. Kol yom v'yom osalo k'dei parnasaso v'yafilu hu yoma. Every single day, we're only going to allow him to do the barest minimum to keep himself afloat, so that he shouldn't perish even on that 7th day, which is his Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Vahu yom b'may minkarle." So you made this whole rabbinic institution. You enacted that he should count 6 days, observe the 7th day. Now you tell me that the nature of the malach and the scope of these malach is identical on that 7th day to the rest of the week, and in both cases, even on that 7th day, which he observes the Shabbos, he's only allowed to do that which he absolutely needs for pikuach nefesh. And the Gemara answers, "Bikidusha ve'avdalta." That he's going to recite Kiddush at the beginning of that 7th day, and he's going to recite Havdalah at the end of the 7th day. And that's going to be his reminder of the Shabbos. That makes that day different than all the other days. It becomes Shabbos because of Kiddush at the beginning and Havdalah at the end. And the big Kiddush here is that we can override the rule of Safek Brachos Lahakel. Normally, if you're in a suffek, you're not allowed to make a bracha. You drop the bracha in the case of a suffek. But here, the Rabbanan instituted a brand new kiyum. It's a mitzvah derabbanan. It's like Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, right? We're going to make brachas on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. Why? Because mirabbanan, it's Yontif. And here too, mirabbanan for him, it is Shabbos. And therefore, he's going to recite these blessings, and that's going to be his experience of the Shabbos. I mean, other Mepharshim say that he should dress up if he can. I don't know what he has out there in the desert. And he should try to be Mekayim, a special oneg. And in that way, he should experience the Shabbos. Very interesting. If you'd wake up someone in the middle of the night and say to him, is there such a thing as subjective Shabbos? And it might be Shabbos for only one person in the world. And you quote this Gemara in Paraklal Gol. Amar Rava, Im hayam makir miktas hayom sheyotzebo osim alacha kol hayom kulo. Let's say he remembers which day of the week he left. He embarked on his journey. And one thing is for sure, that day is not Shabbos. He would not have embarked on his journey on Shabbos. And therefore, let's say it was a Tuesday. Every Tuesday he's stuck out there in the desert. Rabbi says he can do malacha the entire day because he knows for sure that that day is not Shabbos. Pshita. Mal detema, if not for Rabbi, I would have thought. Kevan de Shabbos lo nafik. Is bimali shabbosa nami lo nafik. Since he would never embark on a Shabbos, let's go a step further. And why not say he wouldn't embark on Erev Shabbos? And then we would know that we can add another day to his days that he could cross off the Suffolk Shabbos list. And therefore, in such a case, Hai inami v'chamisha v'shabbos nofik, lishtere leila mevid malacha treyomi. So maybe you can tell me he left on a Thursday, but you can't tell me he wouldn't have embarked on a Friday. We don't leave Erev Shabbos on a major trip out to the desert. Is therefore, let's give him 2 days of heter malacha. Kamashmal and Rava says, no. We're not going to assume that for sure he didn't leave, he didn't embark on a Friday. Why? Zimnin de Mishkach Shayor Asa. Maybe there's a caravan, you know, there's a train that's going to the desert on that particular Friday. He doesn't want to miss that unique opportunity. Umikriv enofik. And it happens to be that he departed on a Friday, which he normally wouldn't do, but in this case, he did it because that was the only way he could get to where he has. The next Shayor was leaving days later. And now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. Hayodea Iker Shabbos. If a person knows that there is such a thing of Shabbos, and he violates Malachas on many different Shabbosos, every Shabbos he has to bring a Chatas Vit Shabbos, Minani Mili. Where do we have this Halach of Chiluke Shabbosos, that every Shabbos generates its own independent Chatas, Omer Av Nachman, Omer Rabba, Baravua Trei Kroiksiv. We have to reconcile two psukim. One pasuk says Vishamru Vnei Yisrael Sashabas. Another pasuk says Uksiv, not in the singular but in the plural, Hashab Sosai Tishmoru Hakates. And how do you reconcile this? And the answer is Vishamru Vnei Yisrael Sashabas. That's called Shmira Achas L'Shabbosos Harbe, which refers to the carbon. There's one carbon for many Shabbosos, but Hashab Sosai Tishmoru, it means Shmir Achas L'chol Shabbos U'Shabbos, that every single Shabbos generates its own independent Chiyuv Karban. That's why the Torah here uses the plural Shabbosos, and it wants to teach us that if a person knew about Shabbos, but he forgot about this Shabbos, he has to bring a Chatos for every single Shabbos that he forgets about, and that's called Shabbososai. Under what conditions do we say what kind of shogeg is Shabbos in the singular? He only brings one carbon. That's someone who doesn't realize the entity of Shabbos. Maskifla Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Adarava Ibcha Mistabra. It makes sense to say just the opposite. V'shomer v'nei Yisrael Shabbos Shmira Achas L'chol Shabbos V'Shabbos. Maybe it means that he should have an observance for each individual Shabbos, and every single individual Shabbos deserves its own observance, meaning its own Chatos. V'yashav Sosai Teshmoru in the plural means you can integrate many Shabbosos into one Chiyuv Shmira Achas lishabosas harbe. Again, there's no machlokas ledina over here. There's just a machlokas in how to interpret this and reconcile these two psukim. Now the Mishnah says, Hayudeyashu Shabbos, if he knows about Shabbos, but he's not aware of the Malachos, and here we'll start off Ayin Omed Aleph, because we have Shabbos coming up, since we're learning Shabbos, so we'll try to get a little bit of a jump start over here, is Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the case that he brings many, many chatos for each individual Shabbos, and the last case, where he brings many chatos for each individual Malacha? Omer Rav Safra, Kan miyadiyas Shabbos hu poresh, v'kan miyadiyas Malacha hu poresh. According to Rav Safra, what it means is that what would we have to whisper into his ear to tell him and shake him up that he should desist from what he's doing? If we can tell him, hey, today is Shabbos, and he stops, that means that his shkaga was that he didn't realize it's Shabbos. But if we can tell him that this is a malacha, and what you're about to doing is a malacha of Shabbos, and then he desists, and then he's poresh, that means that the shkaga is the lack of yediya of the malacha. And therefore he brings a separate malacha, a separate chatos for each malacha. And Amalei Rav Nachman, and here we'll conclude, Rav Nachman says, I can't accept Rav Safra's understanding of the Mishnah, because klum parish mi Shabbos al mishum malacha, v'kum parish mi malacha al mishum Shabbos. What do you mean you tap him on the shoulder and you tell him it's Shabbos? So he withdraws because he realizes that this is a malacha of Shabbos. I mean, you told me it's Shabbos today, so what? I mean, I want to harvest my crop. Obviously, he knows that if you're telling him it's Shabbos, it means that he's not allowed to do what he's doing. So basically, he's being poreish because of the malacha. Or in the reverse case, you tell him you're not allowed to harvest. So he scratches his head and he says, what do you mean I'm not allowed to harvest? Why can't I harvest? We're all farmers here. Ah, you're telling me it's Shabbos. So this kind of a litmus test, what's going to bring him, what notification will bring him to desist? And it's if it's telling him it's Shabbos, telling him this is a malacha, that's irrelevant, because if he's poresh, he's poresh because it's Shabbos, and if he's poresh from malacha, it's because it's Shabbos, and if you tell him today is Shabbos, he realizes that this is a malacha. And therefore, Rav Nachman is going to come up with a new interpretation, an alternative interpretation of our Mishnah. Okay, then, Rabbosai, here's where we're going to stop for today. We're up to Daf Ayin Omer Aleph, Ella Omar Rav Nachman, which is approximately, I would say, about 10 lines down from the top.